Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Just don't want you to forget that. Today we will talk about the virtues of the holy myrrh-bearing women. They were the Theotokos, Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Cleopas, Joanna, Salome, the mother of James and John, and Susanna, and Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, the great holy myrrh-bearing women. So the account today, we see that Joseph of Arimathea took courage to go to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. He was a member of the Jewish council, but he was also a secret, devoted follower of Christ. And Pilate marveled when Joseph said he was already dead. Well, he really wasn't dead. What was he doing? He was in hell, destroying death by death. This is not understood well. He's not dead. He went to Hades to destroy death so that we would have victory over death ourselves. Oh, death, where is your sting? And he asked the centurion, Pilate asked the centurion if he was dead, and the centurion said he was. The centurion was Longinus, who became a great follower of Christ, was martyred for his Savior. The body of Jesus laid in a new tomb with a stone over it. And the commentaries on the fathers is that our heart is a tomb with Jesus, and sometimes stones get rolled over that tomb, and we cover Christ up with sins, with indifference, with bad habits. And we need today look at that and say, I need the stone rope needs to be rolled away. Rolled away. I want access to Christ. And with the help of God and with our will approached, we can do those things. So who will roll away the stone? With our will and the help of God, he will roll away the stone because that's what he did there. So they entered the tomb, the women entered the tomb, and they saw a young man with a white long robe. And they were amazed, they were fearful. They were taken back, and he said, who do you look for? He said, look for the Christ. He's not here. He's risen. In fact, for centuries, that has been proclaimed from that moment. That was the first moment it was proclaimed. Christ is risen. That was the first time right there. They weren't really sure about how to respond there. But we've learned over the centuries how to do it well. He's risen. He's not here. And then the angel says this beautiful thing. I always am touched by this. Go tell his disciples and Peter. You know, Peter denied him and had wept daily because of his denial for Christ. How am I going to face him? How do I face him? He made me the rock that the church was going to be built on. How do I face him? Go tell his disciples and Peter. I love Peter. I forgive Peter. All this beautiful tenderness we have at this moment. And they went out quickly. They were trembling. They were amazed. They were afraid, it says. But regardless of this reaction, the trembling, their amazement, their fear, their virtues are what stand out to us. Their courage, their affection for Christ, their perseverance, their nobility of spirit are powerful. And I want to kind of focus on those and to help us to emulate those beautiful virtues. So first, perseverance. Who will roll away the stone? Here are some words from Origen, the great Christian philosopher. So let us stand firm against any impending onslaught. Let us prepare ourselves for everything that can happen. That's what they were going to do. We're going to go, and we're going to anoint his body. And somehow that's going to happen. We're going to prepare ourselves for what can happen. Let us not be tested as though unready. Pray that God will fulfill what is lacking, for God works for good to those who love him. So this is a powerful spiritual precept for us to be ready, to persevere, to be ready every day, to prepare every day. You know, it's I'm kind of an obsessive list maker. So I am obsessed. I'm an obsessive list maker. I do that. That's me. Okay. But I do it now with the idea that I'm preparing my day, that I want to accomplish these things during the day. And it's there because I want to follow what I believe God has given me to do that day. Even if it says at 2 o'clock you take a nap. It says it right there on the face. Nap, 2 o'clock. So lie down and take a nap. But this idea is to prepare the day because God is giving the day to us to save us so that we respond virtuously to everything that comes our way. Prepare yourself for the day. Don't let the day just come to you. Look at the day and say, here's how I'm going to approach this day. Here's how I'm going to approach this activity. You know, I remember this like it was yesterday, actually. Coaching Little League, we had a great coach at DP High School, Coach O'Leary. He was a great man. And he gave instructions every year to the coaches that were coaching the Little League. And he said this. He said, you know, if you're playing first base, I'm going to get over here so you can see this. If you're playing first base and you're expecting the guy to throw the ball right there, so you put your foot out and the ball isn't thrown there. It's like thrown way over here. Your radius to catch that ball is like very small. But he said, expect the bad throw. It's a spiritual thing. He says, you put both feet there, and your radius can go from here all the way over to there. It triples the radius on which you can catch the ball. Expect the bad throw. Expect the bad thing to happen to you that day. Why? Because you want it to happen? No, because you want to be prepared. You want to be prepared. You go to a conversation with somebody, you want to reconcile with them, and you're so happy that this is going to work out, expect the bad throw. You've ever had the bad throw, you know, anyway? It didn't work out that way. You prepare the day this way, you have all these opportunities to do this, and you have the day planned out perfectly, it's going to be a great day, and it doesn't turn out that way. Expect the bad throw. This is important. Don't be caught unready, is what Origen says. Don't be caught unready. So rehearse. The other thing I think about this, you know, we have difficulties in our life. We have temptations that come to us. I don't want to be caught off guard when those temptations come. I know what those temptations are going to be, and I know about the time of the day they're going to show up. I want to rehearse what I'm going to do when that temptation comes. I want to be ready for it. I'm going to rehearse. When that temptation comes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do that. Go to this, I'm going to do that. I rehearse what I'm going to do before the temptation comes. Because guess what happens when the temptation comes and you're not ready? You're all shaking your heads like this. As you stumble, be ready. Prepare yourselves for everything that can happen. Let us not be tested as though unready. This is very powerful. That's the women. These are our women examples, the great virtue of perseverance. Well tested, well prepared. So the next virtue that we see in them is obviously courage. facing harassment, humiliation, imprisonment, possibly death, maybe. St. Nikolai says this about a commentary on John 5:4. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep, into the mysterious sea of life. But do not proceed without Christ. Do not proceed without Christ in your boat. The winds of your passions may carry you away. The sea creatures, the demons may destroy you. If you go out with Christ, do not be afraid, but go out joyfully and courageously. Go nowhere without Christ. O Almighty Savior, thou art our helmsman, our defense, and our harbor, from St. Nikolai. So we need to understand how critical it is that we are in Christ in everything we do, in every aspect of our life. You know, I remember when reading became Orthodox and reading the spiritual fathers, it says, understand your vulnerability. Your lack of spiritual ability. Distrust yourself. I said, well, wait a minute. I can do this. I can do these things. Just, you know, kind of the old athlete in me, you know, I can do that. Just give me the list of things to do and I'll do them. So the Lord said, as my life proceeded, so love your neighbor. So overcome temptation. Sometimes. Think good thoughts all the time. Not all the time. Say uplifting things. Do good deeds. No, I'm spiritually weak. I need Christ. Desperately. Desperately. I can't do anything good without Him. And that, sadly, is a realization to try to do everything on my own. And we do this all the time. We kind of make a prayer, we make an idea, have an idea, and then we step out with this sense of confidence in ourselves, which is to a degree good, but without Christ, there's going to be a fall. So the important thing here is to always understand that in your prayers in the morning, you're doing one important thing, drawing near to Christ that you might dwell that day with Him all day long. What's your prayer in the morning do? It draws you near to Christ, that you will dwell with Him that day, and He with you. You have to understand the critical importance of that. And we all know this. When we get on our own and make these personal efforts without Christ, we may even be successful for a while. In fact, the devil will let you be that way. Say, they're on their own. I'm going to let them be successful. And then bang. You ever felt that bang? Bang. So that's very important to understand that our relationship to Christ is critical. So, on to affection, their affection for the Lord. Their unfeigned, courageous, producing love, unaffected by dire circumstances. Isaiah says these words, and I believe these were the words that were in some way in the myrrh bearers. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is Isaiah the prophet, 600 years before Christ. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. And Augustine's comments on this, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Proof of His love. To love Him in return, to take initiative to love others. So three things here. To love God. You know, as we proceed through Holy Week and up to Pascha, we see Christ's passion, we see His humiliation, we see His sacrifice, His revilings, His mockings, His scourgings, His death, His crucifixion, all those things done for one reason, to save you, because He loved you. One thing, one reason, to save you, because He loved you. That's it. So it humbles me every year when we walk through this. He didn't need to do these things. He was God. He did them out of his love for us. So all response to him should be to love him back. And I have found it's very important for me. This loving God is born on the virtue of gratitude. Even to say thank you. Just for life, for things, for blessings, and even for the difficulties. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Why? Because he loves me and he's saving me. He loves me and he's saving me. I don't like all the things that come my way all the time. They're difficult, right? I want to leave the difficulties. But those things I have to learn to say thank you to because they're salvific. They're part of my salvation. And then to love others. To love our neighbor as ourself, following the Lord's commands. Now we have friends in our life that are easy to love, and we have friends in our life that are more difficult to love. Guess who are the most important? The ones that are difficult. St. John of Cronstadt says they're your physician. You have a doctor? Maybe you have a couple doctors. Think people that are difficult to love, even difficult to be around. Those are the most important people in your life. Find a way to love them. In the words of St. John of Kronstadt, when he talks about this, he says, carry on a perpetual war with yourself to love your neighbor. Force yourself to love. Love is work. We think it's like this emotion. Well, it is, okay? It's just an emotion. We like love because it's easy to do, right? No, love to love your neighbor as yourself is work. You need to understand how it is work. You have to apply yourself, pull yourself away from your desires, your hopes in a relationship, and understand that loving that person is critical. And so we have to fight for this. It's a perpetual war, St. John says. And it's been a great encouragement to me and effort to fight for that. To fight for those, to love those that are difficult to love. So, and the myrrh bearers had that. And they're giving us that example. The last virtue is nobility of spirit, a strong character, absolute devotion. We read in St. John 16:33, I have overcome the world, the Lord says. St. John of Kronstadt, on this is beautiful. This will be very encouraging. Let us transfer our souls to heaven, and all the world is conquered. What? What? You want to conquer the world? Transfer your soul to heaven. We are strangers and sojourners. Let nothing disturb us in this foreign land. For you have a city whose master craftsman is God. A sojourning itself is but for a short time. We need to do this once in a while, right? To throw your mind over the barrier. To understand that this is the short life. And we prepare ourselves for the greater life. Let us transfer our souls to heaven and all the world is conquered. Wow. Meditate on that in your prayers, in your time. Transfer your soul to heaven. Nothing is more important than our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in our heart. Protecting our heart in which they dwell from every excessive worry, from all these extra concerns we have in life. Remembering we are strangers and sojourners in a foreign land. Preferring our souls to heaven, transferring our souls to heaven where we will be, this is important and so critical. You'll be with your loved ones. where you'll be with the saints, with the Mother of God, with the angels, and all of us. Forever. Forever. We need to put ourselves there once in a while. Understand our destiny. Conclusion. So today we give thanks to the holy myrrh bearers, who are examples of perseverance and courage in the face of severe difficulties with no apparent solutions. Remember, God is our strength, our firm foundation, our refuge, and our deliverer. May we emulate their sincere and genuine nobility of faith, knowing that we are sojourners in a foreign land, destined to live eternally in the kingdom of God. Christ is risen.